Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'll read three verses here. In verse number 11, the Bible says, Paul speaking here says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, on the morning of February the 10th, the Spurgeon out, he singled out part of this verse right here in verse number 12. He says, "I know how to abound." And he begins to say some things that really spoke to me. He said, there are many who know how to be abased, who have not learned how to abound. And he goes on and says, the Christian far more often disgraces his profession in prosperity rather than adversity. And he goes on and makes many, many more comments about what he's focused on right here, on abounding or prosperity. And boy, I'm telling you, it really spoke to me because I thought, well, you know, most of us, when we get in something, some type of adversity or some type of trouble, well, we'll call upon God and seek God's help and seek God's face. But Paul says right here that we've got to learn how to handle adversity, and we've also got to learn how to handle prosperity. And I want to look into the Word of God tonight and bring some things to your remembrance and wind up showing you some Bible characters, how they some failed in prosperity, some could handle prosperity. And I want you to consider yourself tonight. You know, it's everybody wants to prosper. Everybody wants to do better. And there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to be ambitious, and we ought to want to do better for ourselves and for our family. But we need to learn how to handle it according to the Word of God. With prosperity comes lust, and with lust of the flesh comes neglect of the spiritual. It seldom ever fails. If we focused on fleshly things, then spiritual things get neglected. We have to learn how to balance things in our life. With prosperity comes pride. And often with pride, we forget God. We lose our humility. And we lose our focus on God, the blesser, when we think we've accomplished and we've done something. Prosperity can lead us to be worldly minded instead of heavenly minded. Things that are not pleasing to God. So I want to look at a few things tonight. In Deuteronomy, we'll start off in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. A familiar passage to all of you that read your Bible. And some great Bible teaching in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. There's some things we better not forget. We better not forget where our blessings come from. We better not forget who the blesser is. Has nothing to do with us. Has nothing to do with the company you might work for. Or whatever job you might have. Whatever you've got in this life comes from God. And you better give Him the glory and the thanksgiving for it. And don't ever forget the bondage that He brought you out from under. Amen? Shackled by sin and Satan, and guilty under the wages of sin and death, but God set you free. He brought you out from under that bondage, and the price of it was blood. The blood of His own Son. Hey, those things we better not ever forget as we journey through life. Our God. But I want you to notice some things we better remember in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. First of all, I want you to notice that he speaks about help in verses 1 and 2. It's good to be healthy, isn't it? Amen. You don't have to look too far till you see somebody that doesn't have good health. There's many people in our prayer room week to week that needs prayer, that needs healing, that needs help that only God can give. And if we're healthy tonight, if God has blessed you with health, you better be thankful for it. Amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, that thou, thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days, listen now, that thy days may be prolonged." You know why you're here tonight? God give you another opportunity. You know why you have your health tonight? To be able to stand on your own two feet and get into the house of God, because God blessed you. He overshadowed you. He had mercy on you. And don't ever forget now, remember where your blessings come from. Remember where your health comes from. Amen. Not only health, but wealth. In verses 10 and 11, notice this. He says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee unto the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage." See, God was going to bless his people. He was going to give them houses. He was going to give them vineyards. He was going to give them all the things in the land of promise. God said, "I'm going to give it to you, but you better not forget who's giving." Amen? You better not forget where your blessings come from. It's God that gives you health. It's God that gives you wealth. It's God that puts food on your table and a roof over your head. Ain't got nothing to do with you. So don't get lifted up in pride if you've accomplished in life and you've got things and that others don't have. Amen? Be thankful for what you've got. God is the giver of food. He's the giver of favor. God's highly favored you. Amen? Do you realize you live in the United States of America, the greatest country on earth? Do you realize how blessed you are to be saved tonight? There's people in the world that's never even heard the gospel. And you just don't realize how blessed, how favored we are to live in the United States of America. And we've taken God's blessings for granted. Amen. You know, my grandma and grandpa have heard my mama talk about it years ago. Her mom and daddy had little or nothing. They had to go borrow money in the spring, go borrow some money from the bank, go out and plant their fields and work their fields. And when they got it planted, they called upon the God of heaven to send the rain and to send the increase. They knew where their blessings come from. They were thankful. They depended on God. They realized that they couldn't make it without Him and His blessings. And you know, as little as they had, I think a lot of times they had more than what we've got now. Amen. I'm talking about way back when they had coal oil lamps, when they had to go to the well to draw water and go down in the pasture to the toilet. Amen. Life was hard, but there was more God in their house than the average house today, I guarantee you. You know what they did for entertainment at night, my mama told me? They didn't know. They didn't have a TV. They wouldn't. I don't know if they even had TVs invented then. But they'd gather around the old lamp, oil lamp, and her daddy would get the Bible down. Every night, without fail, he'd read a Bible story to them. He'd expound on the Word of God. That was their entertainment. That was their Nintendo and their MTV and all the junk that's on TV now. They were rich and didn't even know it. They had so much God in the house. We better remember our blessings. God's telling His people right here, when I bring you, when I prosper you, when I bless you, don't forget. Don't forget me. I'm the one that can give it, and I'm the one that can take it away. Health, wealth, food, favor, everything in life comes from the Lord. But also, remembering His blessings, but remember the warnings He gives you. God will always offer mercy before He brings judgment. You find it throughout your Bible. And for God's people, He gives warnings. Notice this in verse number 12. I just read about forgetting. He said, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You know, I don't know why, but it's human nature for some reason to forget the blessings of God. You know, you think about when God brought you under Holy Ghost conviction and you realize you was just a heartbeat and a step out of hell, and He reached His hand of mercy toward you and convicted you and saved you. Lord goodness, we ought to be the most happy and thankful people on the face of the earth. I'm talking about thankful people. Thankful to God for saving us. The most precious thing that's ever been given to mankind, salvation. You see, we were doomed to a devil's hell. Had no hope. But God so loved us that He sent Christ to die and shed His blood that we might have a chance at life. Why wouldn't we be thankful? But most people go through the day and through the week not even giving a thought to God. Amen. Sunday rolls around. Where's my Bible? I can't find my Bible. Oh, I left it in the car last Sunday. Go out and get it and head out to church. Come into church, sit down thinking about what you're going to do after church. The message of God goes flying over most people's head when God wants it to hit you in the heart. Remember the warning. He said, you better not forget me. And He also gives a warning about fear. Three times in this chapter right here. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Verse 13. He says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. And then again in verse number 24. He says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Most people have lost the fear of God. Amen. I don't know why. Because in Him we live and we move and we have our being. God can say live and you live, or He can say die and you die. We ought to fear Him. Reverence Him. Realize what great mercy and what great power that He has over our life. Not only remember the warning of forgetting and of fearing Him, but there's some things that's even fatal. Verse 14, through 16, he says, "You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." You know, it's sad when folks get more excited over a football game than they do over church or over the Lord, over worship, over the things of God. Isn't that the truth now? We ought to be excited about the Lord. He's jealous. He's going to be first. Or it could be fatal. He said, "You better beware. You put other gods before me, I might just wipe you off the face of this earth." And then family. Beware. There's a warning about your family. He said in verse 20, he says, "And when thy son asketh thee in times to come, saying, What mean the testimonies, statutes, judgments, which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware to our fathers." You know, it's very important. He starts off in this chapter right here commanding that parents teach their children the statutes and commandments of the Lord. It's no option. God expects it of parents. It's parents' responsibility. It's not the preachers. It's not the Sunday school teachers. It's the parents. So there's a great warning there to parents. We'll have to answer to God one day. We're going to stand, Brother Jason, you'll stand before the Lord one day. You'll give an account for how you raise your children, about how you've taught them. And each and every one of us will stand before the Lord. We'll give an account. Children are an heritage of the Lord, precious in His sight. And how we raise them, we'll give an account to God for it. But I'm talking about learning prosperity. We need to learn it and learn how to handle God's blessings that He'd be pleased. I believe if we handle it right, He might even bless us with more. Amen? You remember Job? Now, Job said, "Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." We're all going to have adversity. Amen? That's what it's telling us. We're all going to have some troubles we're going to have to deal with. And God has promised to get in trouble with us and help us along life's way. But Paul said, "I've learned how to abound." Paul said, in other words, Paul was saying, "I've learned how to handle when I'm prospering, the prosperous things in life, that I don't want to forget God and forget where my blessings have come from, keep my head on straight." You ever seen anybody go crazy when they got wealthy? Got to, you know, making it in life pretty good? I have. I could very easily call names. And their prosperity took them away from God. It'll do it if you're not careful now. Job, if you look at Job's life, he comes on the scene of the Word of God, a prosperous man. Then adversity came. Troubles hit him like it's just unbelievable, believable the things that came upon Job's life. But he kept the right perspective. Through his great struggles and his questions and things, he didn't give up on God. He knew that God had him in the fire. And he made a statement that he knew that when he came forth, he'd come forth as gold. He handled adversity. He was prosperous. He had adversity come in his life. And in the end of the book of Job, he prospered again. He kept it in the right perspective, adversity and prospering. Then Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph. All the adversity that came Joseph's way, he didn't give up on God, but he leaned upon God. He handled his adversity with the God of heaven's help. And in the end, he wound up to be the governor over Egypt. But he kept his perspective right. He kept his heart right with God. When God prospered him, he knew where his blessings was coming from. We better do the same. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? These young men, along with Daniel, they were taken captive by the Chaldeans as they overrun, Babylon overrun, and took them out of their country, took them into their country, trying to teach them the ways of the Babylonians and teach them their gods and get them to serve their gods, but they refused to. They went into the fiery furnace, and if you look at the end of that chapter, when they came forth, the Bible says that they prospered. They prospered because they were faithful. They handled their adversity in the right way. They came forth through it, and God blessed them for it. Daniel, the same story about Daniel. Daniel rose to be the president of the kingdom under Darius. Daniel, throughout the book of Daniel, you'll find that there's, even throughout the whole Bible, there's never one negative thing said about Daniel. Daniel was a faithful man, young man. Some writers say he was about 16 years old when he was taken captive. And they tried their best to change him, but he would not compromise on the things that he'd been taught and he'd been learned about his God. He remained faithful at a kingdom under King Darius. God blessed him. These men, Job, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they learned how to handle adversity, and they also learned how to handle prosperity. But now I want you to look at this quickly and give you some thoughts before we close right here about some men that failed in prosperity. And I'd say it's probably a whole lot easier to fail when you prosper than it is to learn how to handle it. And so tonight, that's what I want to really drive home to you. I hope God blesses everybody in here. I hope God prospers every one of you. And I hope you'll realize where your blessings come from and learn to handle your blessings right. Amen? In 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26, here's a man who prospered and he failed to handle it. This man lost his health because of it. King Uzziah. He was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Verse 4 says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5 says, as long as he sought the Lord, listen now, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And God, the next few verses speaks about his victories, his accomplishments, the inventions that he was. And then it comes on down to verse 15, says that he was marvelously helped until he was strong. In other words, he got to thinking, well, I've really done something. Look at me, King Uzziah. Boy, I have defeated our enemies. I've invented these weapons of war. I really accomplished some things in my life. And verse 16 says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted to his destruction. Pride goes before destruction. He got lifted up in pride. And he went in and he tried to burn incense on the altar. He was rebuked by the priest. And instead of taking the rebuke well, he didn't take it well at all. Made him mad. God smote him with leprosy that day. He was separated from his people. He was separated from his family. He had to live the rest of his life as a leper. And his son took the kingdom. He couldn't handle prosperity. Got lifted up in pride. And got messed up in his worship. Amen? A lot of folks get messed up in worship when they get prosperous. You know what I mean? Turn to these gods of the world. Forget about church. Forget about the God who's really blessed them. King Uzziah lost his health. Then you'll find in the book of Daniel, Bible character by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. He was the king that had conquered the known world at that time. I mean, he had it all under his control. And if you study the story of Nebuchadnezzar in relationship to Daniel, how Daniel came in and he was an interpreter of his dreams and his visions. And Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of a great tree that went high toward the heavens and spread out through all the earth, had fruit and leaves, a big tree. And he had a vision of that tree, and a messenger came, from heaven came and told him that this tree is going to be cut down. And, I mean, it's just a loss, but a stump would be left. And he was troubled about that dream. He called in Daniel to interpret it, and Daniel interpreted this dream for him. And Daniel wound up telling him, well, the tree that's going to be cut down is you. And he tells him the total interpretation of his dream, that 7 years would pass, that he's going to lose his mind. He's going to go out and he's going to be with the cattle of the field and he's going to eat grass and live with them till 7 years pass. And notice this right here. Notice this right here in chapter number 4. It says, the matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. That was the lesson that God was going to teach him. This was what was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar unless he realized that God ruled and reigned in the earth. And as time went on, as Daniel interpreted this dream for him, and he told him, he repeats in the interpretation further on in the chapter, he says this in verse number 24. He said, this is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, there it is, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. I wish Washington could read that verse right there and understand it. Realize there's a God of heaven that rules and reigns in the earth. It says, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Whereas, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Listen to this now. Daniel speaking to the king. He says, whereas, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. He said, listen to what I'm telling you. Heed the warning that I'm giving you. He said, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. God was giving him an opportunity to avoid this. But he was so prideful. He wouldn't listen. And let me just read a few more verses and give you the rest of this story. And it came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he done forgot about what Daniel told him. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Boy, he was patting himself on the back. And it was there that day, because of those statements, that God smote him. His understanding, the Bible says his understanding left him. And he went out, and for 7 years he was mindless, eating grass with animals. And after the 7 year period, his mind came back to him, his understanding returned to him, and he had this to say. He said, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputing as nothing, and He doeth according to the will of in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, 'What doest Thou?'" You see, it took something bad to wake him up. But then he lost his mind. He couldn't handle the prosperity. Belshazzar, his grandson, lost his life. You'll find in the next chapter, he was a party animal. He had the wine. He had the world by the tail. He had women. I mean, he had a big party going on. You know the story, how the fingers began to write on the wall. Great fear fell upon him. And he called Daniel in to interpret the writing on the wall. Daniel made this statement to him, "Thou art found in the balances, or weighed in the balances, and found wanting." And that very night, he died. The Medes came in and killed him. And so, you see, and if you read the story in the Bible right here, I won't read it for the sake of time. But when Daniel was interpreting, before Daniel told him what the handwriting on the wall said, I'm going to read it anyway. Notice what he said. Daniel, speaking to Belshazzar, he said, "O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, majesty, glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages trembled, feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. Whom he would keep alive, he kept alive. And whom he set up, whom he would he put down." Verse 20 says, "But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his earthly kingdom, from his kingdom throne. They took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast. His dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen." And then he goes on. He says, "The Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." Daniel preached a little sermon to him about Nebuchadnezzar. So you knew all this. You knew that God rules in the affairs of men and over the kingdom of men. He said, "You knew it, but you didn't heed it. You lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven." God slew him that night. I'm talking about handling prosperity. And I'm gonna close right there. I guess this message was more of a warning to you and to me, to all of God's people. You better learn how to handle prosperity, because prosperity has taken many people away from God. I've seen it. I've seen it right here at Liberty Baptist Church. Beware. Beware. Read your